My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, that's 916-909-1320. It's the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A better life starts with healthy food?
Question mark.
A healthy life starts with healthy food.
There it is.
There we go. I got it.
You got it.
Shout out to Farmer's Dog for sponsoring the call-in line.
Yeah.
916-909-1320 if you want to hop in. The 49ers have not traded Brandon Ayuk yet. The more we sit here, the more I think they're not going to trade him. Because the more we talk about it, the more I can't imagine they're sitting there in their front office saying, hey, this is the best way to use our funds over the next 4 or 5 years is by punting and adding more draft picks. I don't see it. And not to say that I think they can go get a quality receiver in this year's draft. But a quality receiver next to Brandon Ayuk. And that's why I'm hoping that they agree and see that same thing. I just don't, again, you have to talk about the next 3-4 years in a post Deebo Samuel, post George Kittle, post Christian McCaffrey world.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's really difficult, man, because wide receivers, they don't...
I don't know that this one's that difficult, though.
It shouldn't be, but it's a lot of money, and you have a lot of money tied up in other players, and I get that you shouldn't have a lot of money tied up in some of these guys, or maybe you have too much money tied up in some of these guys, but that doesn't change the fact that you do have it tied up. And, you know, we saw the reports yesterday, didn't we see the report that the 49ers have told Deebo he will not be traded, right? Like nothing is going to, he will be on the team next year. I saw a report of that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It cost him so much money to trade him this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff going on, right? The whole, we talked about it yesterday, the Chargers moving all the way up, like the odds of them drafting a quarterback number 5 overall, mm-hmm. like went through the roof, and everyone's like, okay, hang on, chill out for a sec. Like, it cost them $100 million to trade Justin Herbert. Like, dead cap space.
It's wild.
Like, it's like, that's not going to happen.
The Broncos ate something like $80 million to trade Russell Wilson.
It's just, it's crazy to think that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did go out and get Zach Wilson. So the
watch you know, out.
Yeah. You're trading one Wilson for the other. Maybe that's what you do. If you're the Broncos, you don't even tell anybody and you give Zach Wilson the same exact jersey number.
Yeah, number 3.
As Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And you just try to pull like a fast one on people. I don't think there's that much difference at this point.
Stop. Russell Wilson is not prime Russell Wilson, but he's way better than Zach Wilson.
Oh, I know.
Poor Zach. He's going to be behind like Jarrett Stidham. And there's a Ben DiNucci, I think, Cowboys legend, and then they'll probably draft a quarterback. Oof.
It's just guys that they've made up names and put run out there.
Yeah, I'm going to be an open tryout.
Yeah.
Going to catch me and John Poles out there.
That's right.
Try out for quarterback.
It's funny. I think Zach Wilson is the only one with a quarterback name out there. So maybe he's got a shot over the other guys. Because Stidham or whatever, that's not a quarterback now.
Jared Stidham lit up the 49ers 2 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
He kicked their ass, dude.
But that's not a, that's, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's not a quarterback name. We've had the quarterback name discussion.
Oh, this goes quarterback at every position. If you have a bad name for a position, you have no chance.
Yeah.
That's why Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., great wide receiver names.
Got it.
But Jalen Polk, great wide receiver name.
Mm.
Ladd McConkey, player I like a lot. Ladd McConkey is more... Boy, Ladd McConkey, that's a kicker name.
I guess.
Ladd McConkey, that's big kicker energy for sure.
That does have big kicker energy.
But Deebo Samuel, there was no chance Deebo Samuel wasn't going to be good.
No, I totally agree.
Elite name.
Yeah. Very, very elite name.
Yeah. All right. I think you're right, though. Zach Wilson has a good quarterback name.
Yeah.
Ben DiNucci does not. All right. We're giving away $500, part of the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. We will give that keyword sometime this hour. Sometime before the end of the show, we'll give you a keyword, which you'll enter at ESPN1320.com to give yourself a chance to win $500. I want to talk about the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. I guess the Mike Brown press conference has started, and of course he called me out for not being there.
Oh, 1,000%. That was definitely going to happen.
Thanks, Mike Brown.
Yeah. I told you, you know what? I told you you could go.
It's okay.
I told you I'd figure it out. I can do 2 hours of radio.
That's funny.
Oh, I see. Okay. Damian just texted me.
Yeah.
Do we have the Mike Brown press conference?
It is on the Kings YouTube channel.
It's on the Kings YouTube channel?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go track that down. And, there we go. Okay. I'm going to pull that up and I'm going to hope that this works. And I'm going to play all those. And here is Mike Brown's exit interview with the Sacramento media once I share my screen. And we're going to do... Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. All right.
No?
Brutal. All right. I don't know what's going on with this computer. We don't have Mike Brown's press conference for you. Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. No idea.
All right.
That stinks. I don't know. Anyways, Mike Brown says anything interesting, we will let you guys know.
That's right. Outside of him just roasting James for not being there.
Yeah, well, we all knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's fine. The Orlando Magic can't score. And I know Malik Monk was already a target for them, or a potential target for them. And it's like, man, I think what they would be willing to pay Malik Monk goes up every single minute they play in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Cole Anthony, 0 for 11. Paolo Banchero is a really, really good player. I like Paolo a lot, but just no help. Jalen Suggs, a really like dogged defender. I like Jalen Suggs, but he's not a scorer and a creator the way Malik Monk is.
No.
They need help on that end, man.
You could really see Monk fitting in alongside Suggs.
Yes.
As like him being the defensive-minded guy. No, I think that that's something. It makes a lot of sense. I do get, this is where you kind of get into the question that Monk always brings up. Like, you can make a lot of money and be in a worse situation, and you don't know how that situation is going to go. You think that Paolo Banchero is going to continue to ascend and be a much better player. Franz Wagner is a very nice player. But, like, is there the high-end potential there? And maybe there is with Monk as, like, the third guy. But there's also a possibility that you look at that and go, I don't know. I'd also point out that their head coach is very, very, very close with Mike Brown. So, you know, Jamal Mosley is very close with Mike Brown. And that's like, they will, like, if they need to do advanced research on it, I don't think Mike is going to sit there and call and say, hey, you know, don't take my guy, or hey, you know, this is why you should take my guy.
Mm.
But there still is going to be like a bond there, and there's sort of like a very, very common tie.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to break right now. When we come back, we will have Mike Brown's end of season presser for you.
Okay.
My computer was muted, which I think was the problem.
Oh.
Didn't even look. So when we come back, we'll have Mike Brown for you, and we will give you the keyword today, the first of two keywords that will be given out today on ESPN 1320. We'll give you a keyword that you'll enter at ESPN1320.com for a chance to win $500. That's right. All you got to do is go and enter a keyword, and you'll be entered to win $500. We will give you a word. D'Lo and KC will give you a word during their show. That gives you two chances to win that $500. So $500 in Mike Brown's end of season press conference coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're going to do this quick. Go to ESPN1320.com, the Nothing But Net $500 giveaway. Go to ESPN1320.com right now and enter the code word CENTER. CENTER. C-E-N-T-E-R. That is your code word for your chance to win $500. And now, live from Golden One Center, Mike Brown on his end of season press conference.
Lose games like that too often, but it's going to happen. You've seen it in the playoffs. We've done it to other teams. We did it to Golden State. I think we did it to the Lakers. We did it to a handful of teams. So the ebb and flow of the season is going to bring different things. And, you know, at the end of the day, each game is its own entity. And I don't know if there's one thing I can sit here and tell you now,
so money is
that will encompass all those situations that you're talking about to where next year it's not going to happen. You know, I think there are some games where we lost because we didn't do a good job defending this person or these types of actions, or didn't get back in transition, or we didn't shoot the ball well, or we didn't shoot the ball well from the free throw line, you know. So I think each situation is different. The thing that I take away from it, and I've said this consistently, is, you know, going through situations like that, that's a type of adversity, because you went through it. The outcome wasn't what you wanted. It disappointed you. You felt the hurt. But the neat part about it, if there is a neat part, at least I feel there's a neat part, is you experienced it and it helped with your growth. And so I think going through those types of situations and feeling the hurt afterwards, and reflecting right after the game ended on what you did right, what you did wrong, will help us going forward. Obviously this summer, just like I know our guys, it's a big summer for all of our guys. It's a big summer for us as a staff. We're going to go back and we're going to watch, if not all the games, at least most of the games. And we'll reevaluate everything that we went through from the beginning to the end. But there is not a common theme that I can sit here and say is the answer to us doing, you know, losing games to the teams that you mentioned. And that common answer would be the answer to where it won't happen next year. I hope I'm making sense. So, all right.
Hey, Mike, going back to the defense a little bit, we saw a noticeable improvement really from the All-Star break onward. I think you also mentioned during that time that you typically see officiating start to change a little bit. They allow a little more physicality as we ramp up towards the playoffs. That plus, I suppose, a player's willingness to put in that effort down the stretch. My question is, how sustainable over the course of a full season do you think the way you were playing defense was to where you can expect that in the November, December, January months of the season as well as the end of the year?
Well, I truly believe we're on track to have a winning culture here that is sustainable. I like our group. I like our competitiveness of the group. I like the togetherness of the group. You know, I like the hunger of the group to want to be better. I like, you know, when we lose, you could tell it bothers guys because, you know, we all been in situations where when you lose whatever your walk in life is, sometimes it doesn't bother guys or doesn't faze people. And it bothers our guys, and to me, that's going to help them grow. So, having said that, what was the last part of your? So, having said that, I really believe our guys will lock in on the things that they need to do to get better this summer, knowing how hard it is going to be overall just to be able to compete and get to where we want to go. And I truly felt that they feel that, or they felt how much needed it was for us to be better defensively.
What do you want us to do about money?
That carryover with the guys that we have in the locker room, I can see it being here because of what I just said.
Have you taken your last?
It's going to have to be in order for us to be better.
I was going to take.
There's no other way.
Now,
does that mean we're going to come out of the gate being a top five defensive team or a top 10 defensive team? I don't know, but all of our guys from top to bottom know that we won games, especially down the stretch, not just from our scoring and our shooting, because we didn't always have control over that, but that we won games also from the defensive side of the ball. And the good teams, in my opinion, you'll see as the playoffs go on, they'll show on that end of the floor more than offensively. I mean, you're seeing it a little bit now. How many games have been won in these playoffs? 92-87. You know, and it's hard, but that's the side of the ball you have the most control over.
The most will be 15.
Mike, you mentioned that you're early in the evaluation process and everything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. I'm easily forgettable. Oh, but you mentioned you're early in the evaluation process, and you have some decisions to make with some guys like Malik and everything. But are you okay with what your grasp is of the roster? Are you okay running it back with the same roster next year, or do you feel there's a need to upgrade in some way?
Yeah, you know, every year, I think teams change. Sometimes you change a little bit more than others, and I think, you know, taking a step away from the season, taking some time away from the season, and then circling up with Monty and Wes because they'll lead the charge in that area. But circling up with those guys, and which they're already doing, by the way, but and trying to put a game plan together, I think is going to be big. I absolutely love everybody in that locker room. We all do. they competed their tails off. We could have, in my opinion, we could have easily won 50 games this year, 52 games this year, even with the injuries. But at the end of the day, just like, you know, us losing Jordy and me moving Luke to the front of the bench and me having to figure out the rest of the staff, change is going to happen. And it's just a matter of what we feel at the time that we start doing it.
And then I'll Coach, work with Joe.
When you got this job, you mentioned the importance of creating a culture.
Yeah.
And at this point now, 2 years have passed. How successful do you think that has been, and how do you maintain and improve upon that?
I think we all have been a part in creating a winning culture here. You know, Matina and her group have been phenomenal. Monty and his group, they've been phenomenal. The players have been phenomenal, you know, and it takes everybody to kind of buy in and do their part to get it to where you're feeling pretty good about it. I also feel that it's definitely sustainable. But, you know, when you do talk about culture, it's usually extremely hard to build, but it can go away quickly if you don't work at it every day.
Okay, thank you.
And I truly believe that our guys, that Matina and her group, that Monty and his group, and everybody else works extremely hard at trying to have the best environment here. That's sustainable for a long time, and that's what excites me about this place.
Coach, you've touched on previously, you've touched previously on how this team is always being connected and staying connected, and especially in a season like this that had some adversity. Why do you think this group was so connected in the way it was, and how important do you think going forward is it that this team is connected on every front you can possibly think of?
Yeah, I feel the group is connected. It usually starts with your guys, and you know, Domas and Foxy. You know, you could throw HBN and Malik and and a couple other guys. They do a good job of trying to keep the group together. Our staff too, our medical team is one of the best in the business, if not the best. You know, our performance team, in my opinion, is the same. Those guys work their tails off and they don't get enough credit for what they do. But they help in that area as well. And so when you have the type of people around you that we have, it makes my job easy. It makes Matina's job easy and Monty's job easy to just kind of keep the wagon moving forward. So I, like I said, that's what excites me most about this, about is who the people we have here and the direction that we're heading.
Hey, Mike.
Okay.
When you look at the offense this year, and you know, I guess going back to the playoffs last year, kind of what Golden State did, and you know, I assume that teams make adjustments over time, and you know, try to take things away. What kind of things are you guys going to look at in terms of changes there? What do you want to keep the same, and what you know do you think you might be able to change and kind of fine tune going forward?
It's a little early to really, you know, give you exact answers. Because, like I said, we're going to take the summer to evaluate a lot of stuff. But, you know, the one thing that slipped a little bit was our pace. You know, I think we were fifth last year, and we dropped to ninth. And one of the things that we're thinking about that may be able to help is, you know, on makes we do this, on misses we do that, so that gives the guys a little bit better direction of, you know, what needs to happen right now. I also felt that last year we got to the corners, which flattened out the defense a little bit quicker. We were okay doing it, but we didn't run as hard off the ball this year as we did last year. And then, you know, part of this process, this growth process, is you got to give guys a little bit more freedom to see what they can bring to the table. And we shot more mid-ranges and more difficult threes this year. But, you know, we have guys that are capable of doing it, and they're going to have to do it in order for us to have some success. So, you know, our shot selection wasn't great, which attributed wasn't great in terms of what it was last year, which is why the numbers were really good last year. But the guys that took those shots, you know, Keegan, Malik, those guys are going to have to take those shots, and they're going to have to make those shots for us. So I'm 100% okay with them doing it. We just have to make sure that we're better in other areas. And then, like I said, Jay, if we just shot the same rate we did from the free throw line last year as we did this year, we jumped six spots from 13 to 7. And to me, if you can finish in the top five, that's great, especially back-to-back years. If you finish in the top 10, I can definitely live with that, knowing that there's room to improve. And our guys will work their tails off this summer, because, like I said, it's a big summer for everybody to improve individually, which will mean we'll improve collectively.
Coach, the Athletic report on your contract situation, you got a mutual option after year three. I'm curious, like, do you anticipate having some conversations about a possible extension this summer? Like, and how much of this is top of mind for you at this point?
Good question.
It's not really at the end of the day. I have 1 year left on my deal. Everybody knows that. but I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about our future. So I'm going to go into this summer trying to figure out how we can be better next year. And then next year, trying to attack it, because we're disappointed we're not playing, and we feel like we left some things on the table.
On ESPN 1320, but whatever.
That disappointment, obviously shared by some of the players, and I imagine the fan base as well. If you're speaking directly to the fans, like, what do you say to them in terms of, you know, just where you guys need to, the sense of urgency, I guess, to improve, or do you feel, you know, that you just kind of give them a little bit of a calm down kind of, you know.
You talked sense. About my son lighting
no,
up.
No, I mean, yeah. Our fans are That's great. Yeah. I absolutely love our fans. I mean, even when I wasn't here, I thought the fans were great, you know, especially, you know, for what they had gone through for so long. So
we might be meeting.
That's what makes this game fun. It's what makes it exciting. That's what keeps you on edge all the time is trying to do well, not only for yourself and for the organization, but for them too. So they pay their hard-earned money to come watch us and support us and, you know, buy the gear and, you know, and all that other stuff. And they talk more positive about us than negative. And so there's no way that I would, you know, try to tell them to do anything but continue to use us as an outlet to enjoy life however they want to, as long as obviously they don't go overboard. I mean, none of us want any of that. And then, you know, obviously, if we're up three and there's a minute and a half to go in the game and we're shooting a free throw, don't start yelling, light the beam then. Wait a little longer. It's probably the one thing I tell them.
Mike, you've talked a lot this year about the strength of the Western Conference. Yeah. From the outside of the organization perspective, you see the massive jumps for a Minnesota. From the outside of the organization perspective, you see the massive jumps for the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I think outside the organization, there's like a pressure of being passed up or falling behind. Does that pressure exist, I guess, internally? And if not, How do you separate yourself from the pressure of what other teams around you are doing?
Well, I mean, you know, it's what our business about is about. You know, I don't know, and there probably is, but I feel like just like each player, probably puts a tremendous amount of pressure on themselves because you want to win. You want to win at the highest level, and so. For me, I'm okay with the pressure, expectations, because that comes along with the job, and you kind of welcome that because, again, I think pressure is a privilege. Hey, if you don't have pressure on you, that means you're probably insignificant, you know, or what you're
That's
doing doesn't
line.
Matter
That's a
to you or to anybody else.
Pressure is privilege.
I feel like I embrace it. Everybody else that is part of our organization embraces it. We want it. We want to be in that position. But the reality of it is, Maddie, it doesn't. Things in life don't do this. You know. Again, I've been not just with Golden State, even you know, San Antonio and Cleveland and, you know, other organizations that I've been a part of, NBA Finals, our climb wasn't like this. It was here, and then you take a step back, and then hopefully you take three or four forward, and then you take one, maybe one and a half back, maybe two, but so it's part of the growth process that you need to be able to go through in order to attain that championship level that you're seeking. You know, again, I'm 100% okay with any type of pressure that comes our way, and I truly feel our players are too. This is, and I've said this before, this is probably the first time that most of them have been in the roles that they're in and experienced the expectations and pressure that comes along with being in those roles after being a playoff team last year. So I think it was a huge growth year in that department. But, you know, I don't think anybody can put more pressure on trying to win than we put on ourselves.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys. You got one more? Okay.
Felt that he would not miss these last games, and you guys would still be playing. Do you agree with that? Is that a fair assessment? How much are you
going to
be in mind here, or
have
you
already been
in
mind
here?
I'm going to make our mics hot,
FYI. No, you know, first of all, we love Malik. Everybody knows that. I truly believe Malik loves it here. The fans have done a fantastic job of showing him love, and I think he really, really, really appreciates that. And he's got a great soul, and he's about as charismatic as they come. So, in terms of him being back, that's a no-brainer. But obviously, that I don't have, and you don't, I don't. You know, that's going to have to take care of itself. And I truly believe we're all on the same page with that. You know, having Malik and even Kevin, you know, they were big for us. But at the end of the day, I believed in the guys that we had in uniform. And again, it's kind of been a staple of ours. We didn't have to see it much last year because we didn't have many injuries. But this year, you know, you always talk about next man up, and we had some guys step into some roles this year that got it done. And, you know, I was even curious as to whether or not they can handle the pressure and get it done. And the first one that comes to mind is young Keon. Young Keon started against Portland and helped us get a win. And then he turns around and starts against Oklahoma City without Foxy and helps us get a win. So having that next man up mindset and truly believing in it is a big thing going forward. And having some success with it only helps with the belief. So no-brainer to have Malik back. Malik, you hear me? But at the end of the day, we're all on the same page here in the organization. But that will take care of itself. And like I said, having Kevin or Malik would have been great. But
they were hurt, and guys stepped up, and I'm proud of the way everybody stepped up, even though we're disappointed in how it ended. Thank you, guys.
All right, that was Mike Brown. We will hear from Monty McNair next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm just waiting on Monty McNair to take his place at the podium for his end-of-season press conference, and we will bring that to you as soon as he gets there. I want to remind you, in case you missed it, we are giving away $500 every single day this week. Head to the Nothing But Net giveaway at ESPN1320.com and enter the code word CENTER, C-E-N-T-E-R, CENTER. That is your chance to win $500. D'Lo and KC will also have a keyword for you to give you a second chance to enter to win $500. Shout out to the Nothing But Net giveaway that will continue throughout this week. Mike Brown just talked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're having a lot of conversations internally, like the ones we're all having in the Kings larger discussion base.
Yeah, I would also point, like, if there's any question whether the Kings are going to try to bring back Malik Monk, that whether they're going to, because I think it's something that that gets glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Kings might not value Malik Monk at $17.4 million. They certainly, like, coming into this season, may not have thought, hey, this is as high as we're going to go. All of a sudden, he is that player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's becoming that player. And so to have Mike literally address that and like look in the camera and say, Malik, you know, we want you. We want you back. That matters. Like, this is part of the entire, you know, like what this team is trying to do. They're trying to get this thing going and to keep this thing rolling. And you don't want to lose a player like Malik and a talent like Malik, because there's no way to replace him.
Yeah.
There's just not.
It's really clear they're putting on the full court press to try and get him to come back and to pitch it in a way of, hey, you might make less, but here's X, Y, and Z. And maybe, dude, we've talked about this. Malik has said, I want to start. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the key selling point. We can sit here and go, you know, hey, the fans and everybody wants him back, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z to get Malik to stay. Maybe it's as easy as Mike Brown going, all right, you're starting next to De'Aaron, and this is what the new rotation is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility. I don't think they can say, hey, look, you're going to start, but you're going to come out the six-minute mark, or you're going to come out the four-minute mark. We need your energy off the bench as well, so we're going to get, like, crafty and like, this thing's... But if it doesn't work, you have to understand, if we're not winning, if the defense isn't there, we're going to have to make changes.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that, like, Fox and Monk have this incredible, like, chemistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've played together in college. They have these moments of just brilliance on the court together, but also they have an issue, like, if they're together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like the same thing with Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's only one ball, and there's only one guy who's supposed to be, like, your lead ball handler in that situation. Sometimes De'Aaron can play off ball, for sure, and De'Aaron's grown in that aspect, and so is Malik. But it doesn't always work. And the key to why Keon Ellis was so successful for the Kings, in my opinion, is that he gave De'Aaron Fox a break on the defensive end. Like, there were many times where Keon Ellis stepped in, like, I got the tough, I'll go guard Steph.
Yes.
You go ahead and do your thing. I'm going to guard Steph, and we need you to score.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that's not what Malik can bring. And Malik's not a horrible defender, but he's also not a lockdown defender. And so, yeah, you got to do what's best for the team. So I think the Kings would at least have that conversation about him being a starter. But I also don't think it's end-all, be-all. I saw a thing today. It showed all of the players that collected votes for NBA Sixth Man of the Year. And that's today. It gets announced like 3:30 this afternoon is the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. And there were 9 seasons where Manu Ginobili received votes for Sixth Man of the Year.
Wow.
And like,
9.
And the dude's in the Hall of Fame, in case anyone's wondering.
Right.
You don't have to be a starter. And, like, that's something that Manu, like, there were times where he started, for sure. But he was one of their top 3 players the whole time.
Without question.
Without any question.
Yeah.
I actually remember talking to Paul Westphal about Manu, and he said, what is he, the second best shooting guard in the NBA right now behind Kobe Bryant?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't come off, and he doesn't start. And it's just like, that's NBA basketball.
Yeah, starting in, let's see, where was it? So he started all 74 games in 04-05, 56 of 65 games in 05-06, then 36 of 75, then 23-7, 21, 79 in 2010-11. But then after that, he started 10 games over the final, like, 8 seasons of his career.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, tremendous talent. And I would even say, like, the reason why Paul Westphal is having that conversation with me was because that's who Paul was as a player.
Mm-hmm.
An extremely, extremely talented scorer that for much of his career came off the bench.
Yeah.
And he got it. Like,
you can make so much money doing that. All right, here is Monty McNair, Kings general manager, with his end of season press conference.
Obviously wish we were preparing for game 2 in OKC instead of here today, but you know, we've talked about our goal, step 1, get into the playoffs, which we did last year, but step 2, stay there and advance. And obviously we're disappointed that this year we didn't continue that goal. So while the year didn't end as we hoped, I do think a lot of bright spots. De'Aaron and Domas' career years in a lot of ways. De'Aaron with leading the league in steals. I believe he had his most points per game. And Domas, obviously, with his double-doubles, triple-doubles throughout the year. Keegan strides on both ends in year two. Keon, when we had some injuries down the stretch, sorry, really showing up big for us. And so a lot to build on. I think 100%. Looking forward, we're excited. I'm excited. Disappointed we didn't make the playoffs, but we do get a lottery pick in addition to, I think, a good base of assets and flexibility to go and improve this team and get back to the playoffs where we want to be. So happy to take questions.
Money, when Mike got the job, he talked about the importance of building a culture. And from your perspective, how do you think that you guys as a group have done in cultivating that? And what's your evaluation on the time that he's had in this role?
Definitely. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is what we've seen, especially the last couple of years, guys wanting to be here in Sacramento, wanting to be a part of what we're doing here, guys coming here wanting to stay, guys from elsewhere wanting to come and join. And, you know, Coach Brown, his staff, our players all deserve a ton of credit for that. And obviously, you know, winning helps.
This is Monty McNair's end of season press conference on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. You're listening to The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Well, I think you guys got to talk to Malik yesterday, and you know, he has some great comments. I think the fans, the love they have for him, that's reciprocated. We love Malik. He's obviously been a huge part of what we've done the last couple years. You know, sadly missed him at some key points down the stretch. We could have used Malik, but and not just what he does on the floor, but off the floor, his attitude and mentality, and obviously his swag and everything that Malik brings. So, you know, obviously we'll have those conversations when the time comes, but what he's done for us has been a huge part of our resurgence the last 2 years.
Monty, do you kind of have a feeling of how that might play out already? Like, do you have like a confidence to you in knowing that what you guys can do?
Yeah, I think for us, you know, I won't get into any of those specifics, but, you know, credit to Malik. He gets to make a free agent decision. It's, you know, I think we'll put our best foot forward. You know, he loves it here. We love him. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that when the time comes.
And just following up on that, like, you know, having you, when every time you're here in this city, you've been in this position, everyone says how important the offseason is. It seems like it's always important, right? Do you feel like any heightened sense of urgency this year based on, you know, even though it's only a 2-game in the wins-loss column, I mean, it's still rather, you know, similar to what you guys have experienced. Do you feel like there's any heightened sense of urgency based on previous seasons now that you have so much of a sample size to you guys?
I think I would say we always feel urgency, especially, you know, with in this league, you know, windows don't last forever. But certainly another year, you know, I think we've seen a lot of what we can build on, a lot of success. We know a lot of the guys and what they can do for us, you know, whether it's play-in, playoffs, big games. And I think at the same time, we're well positioned to take advantage of that and figure out ways that we can improve the team. We'll have to look, obviously, internally, like we always do, and then externally through draft, free agency, trade. I think in all three of those, we have abilities to improve the team as well.
Monty, though you obviously just alluded to how this season kind of the end result was kind of disappointing for you guys in the short term. When you look at this team from a long-term perspective, how do you kind of view this season from that point of view? Just with the context, knowing that you, from a long-term point of view, you want
to eventually
be contending for championships.
I think if you look at this from a 2-year horizon, you know, I'm proud of what this team accomplished. So
for some reason he stops.
You know, 90
just open
94 wins over 2 years. I think us and Denver, the only two teams in the West that won 46 both of the last 2 years. We broke the playoff drought. You know, a lot to be positive on. And you know, at the same time, those expectations got raised last year. We knew they were coming for us, and that's a great thing. I mean, it's a great thing for our organization. I'm not as eloquent as Coach Brown, but I think he said pressure is a privilege, right? And that's fantastic. I love that 46 wins and beating Golden State in the play-in is not good enough anymore, and that's true.
Monty, over here. Number 13th overall pick officially. What's your? Do you guys have a plan for that position right now? In terms of, is that something where you might trade it? Do you anticipate picking someone there? And if so, where do you think that pick could go to?
Yeah, I think credit to our scouting group. They've already been on all this throughout the years. They always are. So. Myself, Wes, our executive group, we're starting to dive in a little more. And, you know, I think we're excited about, you know, where that pick is. You know, I try not to get into all the how good is this draft stuff because I think we're not very good at always predicting those. But even then, I think once you get past the top five or so of a draft, these things are, you know, usually even out year to year. So, you know, we're excited so far about what we'll see at 13. At the same time, could it be used in trade to improve the team? Of course. So, you know, we'll have to look at all those things, weigh those options. You know, I do think one of the silver linings here is, you know, a lottery pick that we can use in one way or another to improve the team.
Hey, Monty. Mike was asked about his contract situation. There's been some reporting on that. Is that... you know, just what's your assessment of the job, you know, that he's done here thus far? And you know, if what would your recommendation be to ownership at this stage?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I talked about, you look at a 2-year horizon here, which is when Coach Brown and his staff came in and a lot of positives. You know, we're certainly disappointed this year. You know, Mike and I will sit down and try to figure out how we get back to where we want to get to. We'll have all those conversations here starting soon.
Monty, the West this year is pretty extreme in terms of just the amount of talent overall. There's not necessarily a roadmap to look to if teams are going to stay that good or if some are going to drop off a little bit. You can't really predict that. I'm just curious, when you look at the Western Conference, the competitiveness of the Western Conference, how much pressure do you feel to make moves immediately to try and compete with that right away versus staying put, staying patient, and believing in the growth, kind of similar to like a Denver Nuggets of a few years ago?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been in the West now, I think, 18 seasons, and it feels like it's almost always like this. So, you know, I think last year, for really, you know, a cornucopia of reasons, we were able to get to the 3 seed. Win 48, we were rather healthy. That middle part of the West was more centered around 44 to 46. And we were able to come out on top, some career years from guys. And this year, you know, we saw the depth of that 46 was, I think, would have been the 4 seed last year. And this year we had two teams facing off in the 9-10 game with 46 wins. So, but that's what the West is, and that's what we're competing against. And I think you got 10 teams that were really darn good this year, and then you got, you know, 5 teams that have a lot of promise coming for us. So it's not, you know, it's not something where you can, in the West, where you can bide your time and just wait it out forever. You know, those 5 teams down there are coming sooner or later as well. So I think for us, it's balancing those two things. We do have a rather young group, but we're not, you know, we're not so young that our horizon is 5-6 years in the future. Like, we're ready to win now. We've clearly done that at some level the last 2 years, and you know, we got 2 guys who were all-stars, all-NBA guys last year. I would argue had even better years this year, and we had a lot of positives around them. But those guys are right smack in their prime. And so, you know, we're built to win now, and we're going to figure out ways to improve the team internally or externally, however we can.
What's up, Monty? Just two quick ones. On the Malik front, you do have a cap on obviously what you guys can spend on him. Does that make your side of the negotiations simple, or is it about fit and role and all that? Like, you know, how do you kind of view that?
Yeah, I won't get into like the obviously the cap and numbers part of it. I think the great thing, I think number one thing you want is that you want that player to be here, and Malik wants to be here. Number two is we want him, and we love Malik, and we know he fits, right? He fits what we're doing. I don't know if the sixth man's been finalized yet. He should win sixth man of the year pretty clearly. I don't know. You guys all get to vote for that, so you guys can tell me. But what he does for us, you know, obviously on the court, fantastic. But really, I think the off-court stuff is what makes him even more special for this group. And, you know, so I think for Malik, you know, credit to him. He gets to make a decision, and, you know, we'll hope it's here.
I believe that award is announced tonight, by the way. But on the first-round pick front, how do you view the balance? You sound excited to get the pick, but also obviously then it now sends that one to Atlanta next year, top 12 protected. How do you view kind of the balance there and the Stepien rule and just kind of the impact of that?
Yeah, I think there's been some, you know, some reporting out there about, you know, what it does to our pick packages and things, but you know, we have a lottery pick. We only owe one pick in the future, and so we'll have plenty of pick power, I think, to go and do whatever we want. And again, there's two ways to do those. You pick them, and I think, you know, credit to, you know, Phil Jabbour and our staff, we've done, I think, pretty well in the draft certain years, and you can trade those, and we've done that as well, the Kevin Huerter trade in particular. So you know, I think we'll have opportunity there. And you know, look, at any time you get to pick inside the top 15, you got a chance to get a pretty darn good player. And so it's, you know, certainly I wish that pick was going to Atlanta when I was trying to figure out how to stop the Thunder right now. But, you know, we'll use it to our advantage.
Yeah. Monty, it was a few seasons back, I think after the second COVID year, you came out, you expressed a little disappointment about the defense. But it seemed like, you know, compared to last year, the offense was incredible. But the defense this season has really improved, and Mike and his coaching staff have been working really hard, you know, to shore up that area. Just want to get your thoughts on, you know, how the defense is progressing, and if you see anything else that, you know, can improve it as well.
Yeah, I think it was obviously good to see the improvement there. I think we got right around average this year, which is, you know, certainly a huge jump from where we were when I started. And, you know, I think for us, whatever we can do that translates to wins, and, you know, like we talked about, 46 wins is generally a pretty good year. It's not good enough in the West, and it may not be good enough going forward. So whether that's further improvement from our defense, getting our offense back to where it was, you know, I think we lost about a point and a half off our net rating, and we dropped two wins. So we got to figure out how to not just get those back, but then more. But that's one step in the right direction, and we're going to continue to have to figure out ways to tick those numbers upwards.
Monty, you guys have had a pretty healthy sample size with this group, and as you approach the offseason, what are maybe some priorities for you in terms of the roster, like what specific needs that you think to get to the point where you can get back and exceed the win total of a couple of years ago?
I think certainly we have to figure out internally. You know, we blew some leads, lost some games that, you know, we wish we could have won. You know, try to shore those up. I know Mike touched on that. Continued internal development. I'll point to, you know, Keegan's defense this year from start to finish was a huge jump for a second year player. Keon Ellis, I think, is a great success story for our, you know, from identifying him as an undrafted player. Great development and success in the G League last year. And then biding his time and stepping in when injuries hit. We just need more and more of those internal success stories. And then, you know, we'll look externally. Like I said, we have the 13th pick in the draft and probably 45 in the second. I think we have a lot of flexibility with our tools. You know, you can trade into the MLE and BAE now, the biannual. So that's another thing you can do. And then, you know, we'll have to look at, you know, potential trade opportunities to build there. But I think, you know, we're excited about how we're positioned going forward. Obviously disappointed with where it ended, but I think we'll be able to get to where we need to. And, you know, our group's already boots on the ground working hard.
Monty, I guess to piggyback off of that last question, Mike Brown has said several times that it's not that hard to go from bad to good, but it's hard to go from good to great. Obviously, with the, you know, historic season that you guys had last year and with the raised level of expectation going into this year, in your eyes, why do you feel it is so difficult to get to being great? And what do you think, in your, you know, through your perspective, you've been in the league a long time, what do you think the Kings have to do in order to achieve greatness?
Well, I think, I don't know if Mike said not that hard. It's hard to win in this league. It's hard to get to the playoffs in this league. But then it's, you know, a little bit of math question. You know, there's 8 first round spots in the West, and then there's 4 second round and 2 conference finals, and everybody's going for that. And I think especially it's great for the league, the play-in and all those different things, the in-season tournament. Teams are trying to win. A lot of teams in the league up and down, if you count them, that's the large majority of the league is trying to win. So, you know, it just means that, you know, there's fewer spots. It's going to be harder. At the same time, you know, last year, maybe we snuck up on people a bit. This year, we certainly didn't. You know, you win 48, you're the 3 seed. You take the defending champs to game 7. People are going to be ready for you. You know, we're just going to have to continue to fight there. And then, you know, lastly, the West is what it is. You know, there's the year in, year out, there's going to be great teams there. So we're going to have to put our best foot forward. We're going to have to get better to crack into, you know, our goal, get into the top 6 first and foremost, so we lock that in, and then, you know, pursue top 4 to get home court, and then, you know, our hope is that we're at some point hosting second round and conference finals here. So, but those spots are coveted. Everybody's going for them, certainly not easy.
Monty, we're talking to De'Aaron a little bit on Monday about the consistency that he's had the last couple of years with your front office and Mike, obviously, because he's been here through a lot of turnover. How do you balance the need in the West specifically to improve the team, but also keeping the consistency of the core intact, not blowing things up and things like that? How do you balance those two things?
Yeah, it's always a balance, and we're always weighing those things, you know, you know, what does this do for us now versus, you know, what will we be able to do in the future? And, you know, I think there's always going to be movement, shakeup. At the same time, there's also a benefit to guys that have been able to play together that show they fit together. You know, we talked about it. A lot of, I think, the improvement in year 2 defensively is we had a lot of the guys coming back in the same system under Coach Brown and Jordy. Congratulations to Jordy. Brooklyn got a good one. But, you know, I think a lot of those things are benefits as well. And, you know, it's a credit to De'Aaron and Domas and that they lead those guys, you know, that they can go and, you know, put their best foot forward there. So, you know, I think we're always balancing those things. It's not easy. If it was, then, you know, it would just be the answer. But really, that's a lot of that we talk about in those rooms.
Monty, you guys have been really patient as a front office and as a team in general in terms of making moves. You brought back those core guys from last year. Do you anticipate keeping that core together? I know when I say core, I mean more than just Domas, De'Aaron, and Keegan. I'm talking Kevin, HB, Davion, or is that, or is it that the untouchables just De'Aaron, Keegan, and Domas right now?
I would point to, you know, I think for our group, we've shown, you know, when the time comes that and the opportunities there, we'll be aggressive. We've done it. And so, you know, we're certainly, it's not something where you know, we said, oh, we, you know, we had success. Let's just roll it out. We're not sitting on our hands. We're out there looking at all the opportunities. Obviously, in the last couple go rounds, we've generally not made a bigger move. But you know, we've been in some conversations. We always will. We have to find out what's out there, and we got another opportunity. You know, this summer we got, like I said, draft pick in the lottery. A lot of flexibility. I think, look, we have a lot of players that have contributed to winning. And, you know, I think the league sees that. You know, Brooklyn just wanted to come in and, you know, take our number one assistant because of what Mike and the players have done here. So, you know, we got to always evaluate those things. And, you know, it's, you know, for us, I think it's putting ourselves in a position that we can take advantage of those opportunities when they come. And I think we're in position to do that this summer.
Monty, building off a lot of what you just said there, most of us, especially me, ignorant to the conversations that were happening during the trade deadline, for example, but you see the jump and how different the Dallas Mavericks looked after the trade deadline and other teams, not just in the West, but around the league did. Is there any regret or remorse to staying put or not making any moves on the deadline, considering how the season ended? Or are you able to kind of separate yourself from what other teams do and just focus on you?
Yeah, we focus on ourselves, and you know, I think one benefit we'll have on those teams going forward is probably more flexibility, more draft assets, and how can we put those best to use? You know, at the same time last year, we were able to, you know, stay healthy post deadline and make a run, and you know, who knows if Kevin Bilic, you know, are able to trade as well. You know, was down for a while. You know, if those guys stay healthy, maybe we get another couple wins and we're in a better position. But yeah, no, we every move won't always work out. I love the process that our group goes through. And I think, you know, it was funny. I was talking to my 5-year-old, he's playing baseball, and he got upset when he got out. I said, you know what, the best baseball players, you know, they only make it 3 out of 10 times. And right, all of these things, all these, batting averages, all these decisions, we're not going to bat 1,000, but you know, we want to just put ourselves in the best spot that we can make the next move that we need to do, the right move, and all those types of things. So yeah, no regret. Excited for where we are going forward, because I think we'll have a lot of opportunity. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm just waiting on Monty McNair to take his place at the podium for his end-of-season press conference, and we will bring that to you as soon as he gets there. Want to remind you, in case you missed it, we are giving away $500 every single day this week. Head to the Nothing But Net giveaway at ESPN1320.com and enter the code word center, C-E-N-T-E-R, center. That is your chance to win $500. D'Lo and Casey will also have a keyword for you to give you a second chance to enter to win $500. Shout out to the Nothing But Net giveaway that will continue throughout this week. Mike Brown just talked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're having a lot of conversations internally, like the ones we're all having in the Kings' larger discussion base.
Yeah, I would also point, like, if there's any question whether the Kings are going to try to bring back Malik Monk, that whether they're going to, because I think it's something that that gets glossed over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Kings might not value Malik Monk at $17.4 million. They certainly, like, coming into this season, may not have thought, hey, this is as high as we're going to go. All of a sudden, he is that player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's becoming that player. And so to have Mike literally address that and like, look in the camera and say, Malik, you know, we want you. We want you back. That matters. Like, this is part of the entire, you know, like what this team is trying to do. They're trying to get this thing going and to keep this thing rolling. And you don't want to lose a player like Malik and a talent like Malik, because there's no way to replace him.
Yeah.
There's just not.
It's really clear they're putting on the full court press to try and get him to come back and to pitch it in a way of, hey, you might make less, but here's X, Y, and Z. And maybe, dude, we've talked about this. Malik has said, I want to start. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the key selling point. We can sit here and go, you know, hey, the fans and everybody wants him back, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z to get Malik to stay. Maybe it's as easy as Mike Brown going, all right, you're starting next to De'Aaron, and this is what the new rotation is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility.
I don't think they
can say, hey, look, you're going to start, but you're going to come out at the 6-minute mark, or you're going to come out at the 4-minute mark. We need your energy off the bench as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get like crafty and like this thing. But if it doesn't work, you have to understand, if we're not winning, if the defense isn't there, we're going to have to make changes.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that, like, Fox and Monk have this incredible, like, chemistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've played together in college. They have these moments of just brilliance on the court together, but also they have an issue, like, if they're together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like the same thing with Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's only one ball, and there's only one guy who's supposed to be, like, your lead ball handler in that situation. Sometimes De'Aaron can play off ball, for sure, and De'Aaron's grown in that aspect, and so is Malik, but it doesn't always work. And the key to why Keon Ellis was so successful for the Kings, in my opinion, is that he gave De'Aaron Fox a break on the defensive end. Like, there were many times where Keon Ellis stepped in, like, I got the tough, I'll go guard Steph.
Yes.
You go ahead and do your thing. I'm going to guard Steph, and we need you to score.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that's not what Malik can bring. And Malik's not a horrible defender, but he's also not a lockdown defender. And so, yeah, you got to do what's best for the team. So I think the Kings would at least have that conversation about him being a starter. But I also don't think it's end-all, be-all. I saw a thing today. It showed all of the players that were collected votes for NBA Sixth Man of the Year. And that's today. It gets announced like 3:30 this afternoon is the NBA Sixth Man of the Year. And there were 9 seasons where Manu Ginobili received votes for Sixth Man of the Year.
Wow.
And like
9.
And the dude's in the Hall of Fame, in case anyone's wondering.
Right.
You don't have to be a starter. And like, that's something that Manu, like, there were times where he started for sure, but he was one of their top 3 players the whole time.
Without question.
Without any question.
Yeah.
I actually remember talking to Paul Westphal about Manu, and he said, what is he, the second best shooting guard in the NBA right now behind Kobe Bryant?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't come off, and he doesn't start. And it's just like, that's NBA basketball.
Yeah, starting in, let's see, where was it? So he started all 74 games in 04-05. 56 of 65 games in 05-06, then 36 of 75, then 23-7, 21, 79 in 2010-11. But then after that, he started 10 games over the final like 8 seasons of his career.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, tremendous talent. And I would even say, like, the reason why Paul Westphal is having that conversation with me was because that's who Paul was as a player.
Mm-hmm.
An extremely... extremely talented scorer that for much of his career came off the bench.
Yeah.
And he got it.
Like, you can make so much money doing that. All right. Here is Monty McNair, Kings general manager, with his end of season press conference.
Obviously wish we were preparing for game 2 in OKC instead of here today, but you know, we've talked about our goal. Step one, get into the playoffs, which we did last year. But step two, stay there and advance. And obviously, we're disappointed that this year we didn't continue that goal. So while the year didn't end as we hoped, I do think a lot of bright spots. De'Aaron and Domas career years in a lot of ways. De'Aaron with leading the league in steals. I believe he had his most points per game. And Domas, obviously, with his double-doubles, triple-doubles throughout the year. Keegan strides on both ends in year 2. Keon, when we had some injuries down the stretch, really showing up big for us. And so a lot to build on. I think 100%. Looking forward, we're excited. I'm excited. Disappointed we didn't make the playoffs, but we do get a lottery pick in addition to, I think, a good base of assets and flexibility to go and improve this team and get back to the playoffs where we want to be. So happy to take questions.
Money, when Mike got the job, he talked about the importance of building a culture. And from your perspective, how do you think that you guys as a group have done in cultivating that? And what's your evaluation on the time that he's had in this role?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is sure. What we've seen, especially the last couple of years, guys wanting to be here in Sacramento, wanting to be a part of what we're doing here, guys coming here wanting to stay, guys from elsewhere wanting to come and join. And, you know, Coach Brown, his staff, our players all deserve a ton of credit for that. And obviously, you know, winning helps.
This is Monty McNair's end of season press conference on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. You're listening to The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
Well, I think you guys got to talk to Malik yesterday, and you know he has some great comments. I think the fans, the love they have for him, that's reciprocated. We love Malik. He's obviously been a huge part of what we've done the last couple of years. Sadly missed him at some key points down the stretch. We could have used Malik, but not just what he does on the floor, but off the floor, his attitude and mentality, and obviously his swag and everything that Malik brings. Obviously we'll have those conversations when the time comes, but what he's done for us has been a huge part of our resurgence the last 2 years.
Monty, do you kind of have a feeling of how that might play out already? Like, do you have like a confidence to you and knowing that what you guys can do?
Yeah, I think for us, I won't get any of those specifics, but credit to Malik. He gets to make a free agent decision. I think we'll put our best foot forward. We he loves it here. We love him. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that when the time comes.
And just following up on that, every time you're here in this city, you've been in this position, everyone says how important the offseason is. It seems like it's always important, right? Do you feel like any heightened sense of urgency this year based on, even though it's only a two-game in the wins-loss column, I mean, it's still rather similar to what you guys have experienced. Do you feel like there's any heightened sense of urgency based on previous seasons now that you have so much of a sample size to you guys?
I think I would say we always feel urgency, especially, with in this league, windows don't last forever. But certainly another year, I think we've seen a lot of what we can build on, a lot of success. We know a lot of the guys and what they can do for us, whether it's play-in, playoffs, big games. And I think at the same time, we're well positioned to take advantage of that and figure out ways that we can improve the team. We'll have to look, obviously, internally, like we always do, and then externally through draft free agency trade. I think in all three of those, we have abilities to improve the team as well.
Monty, though you obviously just alluded to how this season kind of the end result was kind of disappointing for you guys in the short term. When you look at this team from a long-term perspective, how do you kind of view this season from that point of view? Just with the context knowing that you, point of view, you want to.
I need to run in there for
eventually
a second.
Be contending for championships.
I think if you look at this from a two-year horizon, I'm proud of what this team accomplished. So
for some reason, he stops.
94 wins over 2 years. I think us and Denver, the only two teams in the West that won 46 both of the last 2 years. We broke the playoff drought. A lot to be positive on. At the same time, those expectations got raised last year. We knew they were coming for us, and that's a great thing. I mean, it's a great thing for our organization. I'm not as eloquent as Coach Brown, but I think he said pressure is a privilege, right? And that's fantastic. I love that 46 wins and beating Golden State in the play-in is not good enough anymore, and that's true.
Monty, over here. Number 13th overall pick officially. Do you guys have a plan for that position right now in terms of, is that something where you might trade it? Do you anticipate picking someone there? And if so, where do you think that pick could go to?
Yeah, I think credit to our scouting group. They've already been on all this throughout the years. They always are. So, myself, Wes, our executive group, we're starting to dive in a little more. I think we're excited about, where that pick is. I try not to get into all the how good is this draft stuff because I think we're not very good at always predicting those. But even then, I think once you get past the top five or so of a draft, these things are, usually even out year to year. So, we're excited so far about what we'll see at 13. At the same time, could it be used in trade to improve the team? Of course. So, we'll have to look at all those things, weigh those options. I do think one of the silver linings here is, a lottery pick that we can use in one way or another to improve the team.
Hey, Monty. Mike was asked about his contract situation. There's been some reporting on that. Is that just what's your assessment of the job, that he's done here thus far? And what would your recommendation be to ownership at this stage?
Yeah, I think, you know, as I talked about, you look at a two-year horizon here, which is when Coach Brown and his staff came in, and a lot of positives. You know, we're certainly disappointed this year. You know, Mike and I will sit down and try to figure out how we get back to where we want to get to. Yeah, we'll have all those conversations here starting soon.
Monty, the West this year is pretty extreme in terms of just the amount of talent overall. There's not necessarily a roadmap to look to if teams are going to stay that good or if some are going to drop off a little bit. You can't really predict that. I'm just curious, when you look at the Western Conference, the competitiveness of the Western Conference, how much pressure do you feel to make moves immediately to try and compete with that right away versus staying put, staying patient, and believing in the growth, kind of similar to like a Denver Nuggets of a few years ago?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, I've been in the West now, I think, 18 seasons, and it feels like it's almost always like this. So, you know, I think last year, for really, you know, a cornucopia of reasons, we were able to get to the 3 seed, win 48. We were rather healthy. That middle part of the West was more centered around 44 to 46, and we were able to come out on top, some career years from guys. And this year, you know, we saw the depth of that 46 was, I think, would have been the 4 seed last year. And this year we had two teams facing off in the 9-10 game with 46 wins. So, but that's what the West is, and that's what we're competing against. And I think you got 10 teams that were really darn good this year. And then you got, you know, 5 teams that have a lot of promise coming for us. So it's not, you know, it's not something where you can, in the West, where you can bide your time and just wait it out forever. You know, those 5 teams down there are coming sooner or later as well. So I think for us, it's balancing those two things. We do have a rather young group, but we're not so young that our horizon is 5-6 years in the future. Like, we're ready to win now. We've clearly done that at some level the last 2 years. And, you know, we got 2 guys who were all-stars, all-NBA guys last year. I would argue had even better years this year. And we had a lot of positives around them. But those guys are right smack in their prime. And so, you know, we're built to win now. And we're going to figure out ways to improve the team internally or externally, however we can.
What's up, Monty? Just 2 quick ones. On the Malik front, you do have a cap on obviously what you guys can spend on him. Does that make your side of the negotiations simple, or is it about fit and role and all that? Like, you know, how do you kind of view that?
Yeah, I won't get into like the obviously the cap and numbers part of it. I think the great thing, I think number one thing you want is that you want that player to be here, and Malik wants to be here. Number two is, we want him, and we love Malik, and we know he fits, right? He fits what we're doing. I don't know if the sixth man's been finalized yet. He should win sixth man of the year, pretty clearly. I don't know. You guys all get to vote for that, so you guys can tell me. But what he does for us, you know, obviously on the court, fantastic. But really, I think the off-court stuff is what makes him even more special for this group. And, you know, so I think for Malik, you know, credit to him, he gets to make a decision, and, you know, we'll hope it's here.
I believe that award is announced tonight, by the way. But on the first round pick front, how do you view the balance? You sound excited to get the pick, but also obviously then it now sends that one to Atlanta next year, top 12 protected. How do you view kind of the balance there and the step-in rule and just kind of the impact of that?
Yeah, I think there's been some reporting out there about, you know, what it does to our pick packages and things. But, you know, we have a lottery pick. We only owe one pick in the future. And so we'll have plenty of pick power, I think, to go and do whatever we want. And again, there's 2 ways to do those. You pick them. And I think, you know, credit to, you know, Phil Jabbour and our staff. We've done, I think, pretty well in the draft certain years. And you can trade those. And we've done that as well. The Kevin Huerter trade in particular. So, you know, I think we'll have opportunity there. And, you know, look, at any time you get to pick inside the top 15, you got a chance to get a pretty darn good player. And so it's, you know, certainly I wish that pick was going to Atlanta when I was trying to figure out how to stop the Thunder right now. But, you know, we'll use it to our advantage.
Yep.
Monty, it was a few seasons back, I think after the second COVID year, you came out, you expressed a little disappointment about the defense. But it seemed like, you know, compared to last year, the offense was incredible. But the defense this season has really improved, and Mike and his coaching staff have been working really hard, you know, to shore up that area. Just want to get your thoughts on, you know, how the defense is progressing, and if you see anything else that, you know, can improve it as well.
Yeah, I think it was obviously good to see the improvement there, I think we got right around average this year. Which is, you know, certainly a huge jump from where we were when I started. And, you know, I think for us, whatever we can do that translates to wins, and, you know, like we talked about, 46 wins is generally a pretty good year. It's not good enough in the West, and it may not be good enough going forward. So whether that's further improvement from our defense, getting our offense back to where it was, you know, I think we lost about a point and a half off our net rating, and we dropped two wins. So we got to figure out how to not just get those back, but then more. But that's one step in the right direction, and we're going to continue to have to figure out ways to tick those numbers upwards.
Monty, you guys have had a pretty healthy sample size with this group, and as you approach the offseason, what are maybe some priorities for you in terms of the roster, like what specific needs that you think to get to the point where you can get back and exceed the win total of a couple of years ago?
I think certainly we have to figure out internally. You know, we lost some, blew some leads, lost some games that, you know, we wish we could have won. So, you know, try to shore those up. I know Mike touched on that. Continued internal development. I'll point to, you know, Keegan's defense this year from start to finish was a huge jump for a second year player. Keon Ellis, I think, is a great success story for our, you know, from identifying him as an undrafted player. Great development and success in the G League last year, and then biding his time and stepping in when injuries hit. We just need more and more of those internal success stories, and then you know, we'll look externally. Like I said, we have the 13th pick in the draft and probably 45 in the second. I think we have a lot of flexibility with our tools. You know, you can trade into the MLE and BAE now, the biannual. So that's another thing you can do. And then, you know, we'll have to look at, you know, potential trade opportunities to build there. But I think, you know, we're excited about how we're positioned going forward. Obviously disappointed with where it ended, but I think we'll be able to get to where we need to. And, you know, our group's already boots on the ground working hard.
Monty, I guess to piggyback off of that last question, Mike Brown has said several times that it's not that hard to go from bad to good, but it's hard to go from good to great. Obviously, with the, you know, historic season that you guys had last year and with the raised level of expectation going into this year, in your eyes, why do you feel it is so difficult to get to being great? And what do you think, in your, you know, through your perspective, you've been in the league a long time, what do you think the Kings have to do in order to achieve greatness?
Well, I think, I don't know if Mike said not that hard. It's hard to win in this league. It's hard to get to the playoffs in this league. But then it's, you know, a little bit of math question. You know, there's eight first round spots in the West, and then there's four second round and two conference finals, and everybody's going for that. And I think especially it's great for the league, the play-in and all those different things, the in-season tournament. Teams are trying to win. A lot of teams in the league up and down, if you count them, that's the large majority of the league is trying to win. So, you know, it just means that, you know, there's fewer spots. It's going to be harder. At the same time, you know, last year maybe we snuck up on people a bit. This year we certainly didn't. You know, you win 48, you're the 3 seed. You take the defending champs to game 7. People are going to be ready for you. You know, we're just going to have to continue to fight there. And then, you know, lastly, the West is what it is. You know, there's the year in, year out, there's going to be great teams there. So we're going to have to put our best foot forward. We're going to have to get better to crack into, you know, our goal, get into the top 6 first and foremost, so we lock that in, and then, you know, pursue top 4 to get home court, and then, you know, our hope is that we're at some point hosting second round and conference finals here. So, but those spots are coveted, everybody's going for them, certainly not easy.
Monty, we're talking to De'Aaron a little bit on Monday about the consistency that he's had the last couple of years with your front office and Mike, obviously, because he's been here through a lot of turnover. How do you balance the need in the West specifically to improve the team, but also keeping the consistency of the core intact, not blowing things up and things like that? How do you balance those two things?
Yeah, it's always a balance, and we're always weighing those things. You know, what does this do for us now versus, you know, what will we be able to do in the future? And you know, I think there's always going to be movement, shake up. At the same time, there's also a benefit to guys that have been able to play together that show they fit together. You know, we talked about it. A lot of, I think, the improvement in year two defensively is. We had a lot of the guys coming back in the same system under Coach Brown and Jordy. Congratulations to Jordy. Brooklyn got a good one. But, you know, I think a lot of those things are benefits as well. And, you know, it's a credit to De'Aaron and Domas and that they lead those guys, you know, that they can go and, you know, put their best foot forward there. So, you know, I think we're always balancing those things. It's not easy. If it was, then, you know, it would just be the answer. But really, that's a lot of that we talk about in those rooms.
Monty, you guys have been really patient as a front office and as a team in general in terms of making moves. You brought back those core guys from last year. Do you anticipate keeping that core together? I know when I say core, I mean more than just Domas, De'Aaron, and Keegan. I'm talking Kevin, HB, Davion, or is it that the untouchables just De'Aaron, Keegan, and Domas right now?
I would point to, you know, I think for our group, we've shown, you know, when the time comes that and the opportunity is there, we'll be aggressive. We've done it. And so, you know, we're certainly, it's not something where, you know, we said, oh, we had success. Let's just roll it out. We're not sitting on our hands. We're out there looking at all the opportunities. Obviously, in the last couple go rounds, we've generally not made a bigger move. But you know, we've been in some conversations. We always will. We have to find out what's out there. And we got another opportunity, you know, this summer. We got, like I said, draft pick in the lottery. A lot of flexibility. I think, look, we have a lot of players that have contributed to winning. And, you know, I think the league sees that. You know, Brooklyn just wanted to come in and, you know, take our number one assistant because of what Mike and the players have done here. So, you know, we got to always evaluate those things. And, you know, it's, you know, for us, I think it's putting ourselves in a position that we can take advantage of those opportunities when they come. And I think we're in position to do that this summer.
Monty, building off a lot of what you just said there, most of us, especially me, ignorant to the conversations that were happening during the trade deadline, for example, but you see the jump and how different the Dallas Mavericks looked after the trade deadline and other teams, not just in the West, but around the league did. Is there any regret or remorse to staying put or not making any moves on the deadline, considering how the season ended, or are you able to kind of separate yourself from what other teams do and just focus on you?
Yeah, we focus on ourselves, and you know, I think one benefit we'll have on those teams going forward is probably more flexibility, more draft assets, and how can we put those best to use? You know, at the same time last year, we were able to, you know, stay healthy post deadline and make a run, and you know, who knows if Kevin Bilic, you know, are able to Trey as well, you know, was down for a while. You know, if those guys stay healthy, maybe we get another couple wins and we're in a better position. But yeah, no, look, every move won't always work out. I love the process that our group goes through. And I think, you know, it was funny. I was talking to my 5-year-old, he's playing baseball and he got upset when he got out. I said, you know what the best baseball players, you know, they only make it 3 out of 10 times. And right. All of these things, all these, batting averages, all these decisions, we're not going to bat 1,000, but, you know, we want to just put ourselves in the best spot that we can make the next move that we need to do, the right move and all those, types of things. So, yeah, no regret, excited for where we are going forward. Cause I think we'll have a lot of opportunity.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob news. Dare to compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.